Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 7th on the West Coast, now March the 8th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and we appreciate you tuning in. It's daytime for you guys, nighttime for us over here in the United States. Well, there's a lot going on, I should say. A lot of spin, a lot of bailouts, a lot of lies, a lot of deception, and a lot of fear cast in every direction, not to mention all the chaos and confusion. And before we bring on tonight's guest, I just want to say, if you've been watching anything or listening to what's going on, including all the planets and asteroids and comets that are on their way to destroy planet Earth, then you must be feeling, if nothing else, a little bit of anger.
In my brain, it ain't just me. Anger can make you old. Yes, it can. I say anger can make you sick to anger, destroy your soul. Rage, there's no room for rage in there. There's no room for rage in here. Place to go to be mad. It's a sin to treat your body bad. When anger really gets the best of us, we've really lost our heads. Often say a lot of things, oh God, wish we'd never said. Oh, reason.
Anger can make you old. Yes, it can. I say anger.
lonesome.
Marvin Gaye said it right. Anger can make you feel old. But I think fear can make you feel older. To tell you the truth, I'd rather be angry than fearful. And what is it we fear? The truth? Well, we're going to get to the truth with tonight's guest. He hosts his own show Monday through Friday on the Micro Effect Network. The show is called The Story Behind the Story. He's my regular guest now on Mondays on Evident Footprints. He's a naturopath, a researcher, an author, and as I mentioned, a talk show host, my good friend, Dr. A. Truat, Ph.D. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening to you, Don. Thanks for having me on. Wow, it's amazing what you what you can learn if you just keep your mind open. And your eyes and ears open a little bit. Amazing, amazing information that just came to me today, and you as well.
So. Mm-hmm. We've been on a roll, haven't we?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Where
indeed.
Would you like to start?
Well, I posted last Friday on my website. A friend sent me a video clip of this closing ceremonies of the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's a daily update on the Olympic Games on a website. But they have a countdown. It's 507 days till the 2012 Olympic Games begin, the opening ceremonies there in London. Just so that you know, Don, there's 507 days remaining.
I thought it was 508. I'm glad you told me that. So,
so, golly, you know, as I posted that a little expose on that, just a little blip on Friday, a lot of people have contacted me, even called me on the phone over this, and they said, "Oh, the," you know, but half of them said, "I." That's a real stretch. It's not an Illuminati ceremony. There's nothing to the symbolism. But the other half were just stunned. And so I thought, well, I'll just dig and go myself and try to be completely objective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see, well, is it really just symbolism or is there something to this Jimmy Page thing going on? And holy mackerel. I could not believe what I found as I went down the so-called rabbit hole. You know, if our listeners, Don, are not aware of what we're talking about, I just advise them to go to my blog, www.atrueottot.com. You can click on the the video link. And it's just an 8-minute clip. Those of you that don't remember, let me just kind of jog your memory a little bit. On the 7th day of the 7th month of the year 2005, there was a bomb that went off in one of the icons of London, the double-decker trolley bus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It opened it up like a pea pod, just blew it open. 13 individuals were killed in this blast. Actually, you count the bomber himself, it was 14. 2 7s equal 14 on 7/7 of 2005, another 7. Now, what is that about? Why, you know, does that mean anything at all? And of all the things, Don, of all the icons that you can think of jolly old London, England, to have as the iconic symbolism of the closing ceremonies. Why would they replicate that bus being exploded? Why would they choose the symbol of death and terrorism in 2008? I got to tell you, Don, I watched the closing ceremonies to look for symbolism on this live feed, but maybe it was my local station. I don't know, but it closed, and I didn't see any of this.
They didn't show that on TV in the States. That's true.
They surely didn't when I looked at it, because when I got this video clip sent to me, it didn't mean a thing to me. I guess it was sent where it needed to go, back to London, England. Okay. Don, you're in the music business. You understand a lot about music lyrics, about how music can be used both for good and for very powerful evil and mind controlling. You know my work with individuals, you know, trying the best we can to reverse decades of MK Ultra programming. You know of my interviews with a woman we've called Liz. I'm telling you, Don, there is hundreds of hours of downloading information she has just put out, and central to her programming is the music of Led Zeppelin in satanic rituals to bring these demonic entities into her body. And so when I saw this, you know, the guitarist, the bread and butter Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin doing this song, Whole Lot of Love, I was stunned. I on top of this platform of the exploding bus of death, and this Leona Lewis, this singer from the UK as well. Don, this is absolutely, without a doubt, in your face, smack you upside the head, both sides, telling a huge occultic satanic ritual story.
Yes, I remember the opening and closing ceremonies, the drum music and the lights, which was very, very, let's say, paranormal. How's that?
Indeed.
That was a ritual. That wasn't just a musical performance. The lighting effects, if you remember how they would turn the lights off and the drums would glow, and then the hands and the sticks were glowing in the dark. And one can argue, oh, that's just a special effect. But why do we need those effects? This is about the Olympics. Is this about satanic ritual being demonstrated Chinese style in front of the whole world? And then this anomaly about the red double-decker bus reminds me of Tavistock. It wasn't the last bus that blew up parked right in front of the Tavistock Institute?
Indeed, that's where it was, at Tavistock Square. Tavistock is really the headquarters of, as you know, Don, the music infiltration industry. Okay, that's a huge key to this whole puzzle of how they program the minds and souls of individuals by listening to this music. And there's, you know, in 1983, I found there was a bill that was passed into law in California on this called backdrafting in the songs. You take music lyrics and you can computerize them and show that there's a whole hidden meaning to these lyrics that the subconscious brain picks up on. It's very real, and the message goes into the soul of the body, and Led Zeppelin's music especially it was shown to and proven that there is a double meaning, almost like reverse speech that the computer could pick out. And it was embedded in the track by the same means.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of reverse speech recording on that song, too.
Indeed, there was. It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
It's dark.
So I dug into, you know, is there anything proven in this song, Whole Lot of Love, that was played? Is there back drafting, as they call it, in that song? And indeed, there's huge amounts, Don.
Would you like to play it for us? No, I'm just kidding. I don't think we need to go into it, but.
I don't know how graphic you want to get on the show.
Well, we do have some young people that listen to the show from time to time, but we can put out a warning. Do you have it queued up? I don't have it, so.
No, I don't want to play it, but I can just speak the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's, you know, just again, this is the song that was playing out of this bus. The top comes off. It looks exactly like the scene of the Tavistock Square where the bomb exploded. You have the zebra crossing, the black and white paint replicated to the nth degree. You have exactly 18 black and white stripes for the symbolic 19. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have everything set just exactly as it would be on an occultic sacrificial ceremony. Out of the top of the bus comes this mother goddess, Leona, and she goes and elevates to the top, and her dress forms a DNA double helix. Absolutely, absolutely incredible what that was symbolizing. Then Jimmy Page begins his guitar solo. She starts to sing, and away they go. It's all a metaphor in the lyrics. The lyrics, basically, here's what the lyrics are. And yeah, it was toned down a little bit, but the lyrics of Jimmy Page singing, "I'm going to give you every inch of my love. Going to give you my love." And then Leona, "Want a whole lot of love, want a whole lot of love." And it goes, it's actually mating ritual. There's no, that song is nothing but sexual innuendo.
Now, when you say mating ritual, you're speaking like the mating ritual of the Texas aardvark, right?
Of course. All right. So before we go, before that scene opens up, though, you have this red double-decker bus coming into play. You have on the side of it, London-Beijing-London, as if these folks were coming from London to Beijing and now back to London. London, of course, being the headquarters of this science, if you want to call it that, of mind control through music, through rock and roll music. Now, I'm not saying all rock and roll music is bad or evil. Of course, I'm not saying that, but there are certain key bands and performers that they have used exclusively in this, okay? And Jimmy Page, without a doubt, is one of those. This gentleman, in case you don't know, is a disciple of Aleister Crowley. In fact, he used his money from performance and bought the estate, the home of Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley's probably, it's easy to say, he's the wickedest man of the last century, without a doubt. I mean, this man was into every aspect of the black arts demonic possession, demonic conjuring, etc., etc., etc. And it is real, ladies and gentlemen. There is no doubt about it. I've witnessed so many things. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Don.
Mm-hmm. I get this. I'm conjuring up this image of a carton of eggs, and Aleister Crowley is one of the dozen, and you can tell which one he is because the egg shell has hair on it.
And it's rotten. It stinks. Yeah. It stinks to high heaven inside of it.
I don't mean it's so graphic other than to just, you know, that's the image that came up.
So in this bus, as it comes into, you know, the tail end of these closing ceremonies, you have these 33 dancers. 33. They, you know, there's even a guy in a wheelchair, for heaven's sakes. But they're dancing in a very strange gyration until the bus stops. That the doors open up and one little girl steps out, a young, innocent girl. They all kneel down, as in worshiping her. She walks to the center of the zebra crossing, and there is a woman with her hair done up in a double-horned headdress. It looks much like the fish head of the Pope. Okay, which is a very occultic icon, by the way. This woman has a strange lollipop-like sign. It doesn't have stop on it. It's not octagonal like a stop sign would be, as a crossing guard would have. No, no, no. It has a very deeply occultic sign on it. It looks like a snake with, you know, in a road, but it has like two mountain peaks, two horns, a two-horn symbol. But it also looks like a snake in this symbol. Then at this point, a young Oriental girl about the same age comes and meets her halfway in this crosswalk. It could also looks it looks somewhat like also a barcode structure. Barcode being, of course, symbolic with the mark of the beast, the 666 numerology of how barcodes are scanned and read. But here, this Chinese girl hands her, of all things, a soccer ball, but not just any soccer ball, a soccer ball with eight pentagrams of black. Okay, she hands this soccer ball to her. As soon as this girl that came from the bus, grabs the soccer ball, she places it over her head. The mother goddess crossing guard, with her hair all put up so incredibly neat into two horns, takes her by the hand, and then she walks at that point immediately on the backs of the 33 people. They form, they come down, and they basically kneel before her step by step by step. She takes exactly 21 steps to enter the bus again. Exactly 21. 7 times 3 steps. She enters the bus, the bus door closes, and then the lights come into a blue and gray background. The bus opens up the top like it comes apart like a lotus flower opening up, and then this Leona comes up in this incredible symbolic dress symbolizing the double helix of the DNA. And then below her, with his guitar between his legs, is Jimmy Page, and A Whole Lot of Love begins to be sung.
A lot of things come to mind. You and I did a show or two about the intention to implement vaccinations. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Around the time of the Olympics, and then we had this false flag Georgia event that occurred. When I say not the United States, Georgia, of course, we're talking about Georgia over in Eastern Europe, the country.
Yes. Yes.
And a lot of what you're describing served to entertain the dignitaries that were there in Beijing, and they were very quick to show them on camera a drunken George W. Bush, if you remember that.
Yes.
In fact, I think the video and the stories and the photos are still available online today. So anyone can research that for themselves. The date, I want to go back to this date of 7/7/2005. That date was announced. That date was announced several months prior to that event. Unfortunately, at the time, I wasn't aware of the symbolism behind the airing of the alleged Osama bin Laden videotapes and then the audio tapes. He would be shown on TV. You'd hear a voice. You don't know it's his voice because unless you heard him speak and you knew it was him speaking, let's say from hearing him in person, you don't really know that it's him. And then they go 2 or 3 seconds into whatever is being said in Arabic, and then they do a voiceover so you can't hear the words. And they give you the alleged translation. Now, they were putting these tapes out at a time when everyone who knew anything about Osama bin Laden knew that he had died in December of 2001. So they were putting this message out, but the message was mistranslated or merely propaganda. And the people that heard this message just said, oh, well, they're looking for bin Laden. Now he's in Afghanistan. Now he's in the Tora Bora Mountains. And they created all these stories around where he was, but the guy was already dead. Releasing the tape on the date they released it was followed by a second tape. If the first bin Laden tape was a videotape that they showed on TV, on the mainstream TV news, then sometime after that, with one exception, sometime after that, there would be another videotape, but it would be his second in command, al-Zawahiri. And if you think back, or if you Google, you can Google this, and you can basically find the old recordings. There was a space of time. There was numerology because of the release date of the first tape. Other numerology because of the release date of the second tape. And then you study that, and you could figure a pattern. Well, I learned the pattern, and I'll tell you, 7/7/2005. Was part of the pattern. It came up. And that's not the only time they did that. They did that with the Bali nightclub bombing. They did that with the train bombing in Madrid. Now, as far as what I know, Madrid and London had something to do with the fact that London or England was considering pulling out of Afghanistan, and Spain gave them the cold shoulder on that as well. That was retribution, pure and simple. Look at who did 9/11. Who would have done that to London?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it becomes to the same group of people that run the banks, doesn't it?
Well, I found some even more stunning symbolisms, okay, as you go on with this. The, of course, we're led to believe that this was all done by extremist Islamic terrorists, the bombings there on 7/7 of 2005 in London. But you realize also that there's a very occultic symbol that is called the Ben Ben sphere. Okay, there used to be a sculpture, I guess you would call it, in the park of the World Trade Center, that was this big sphere that was the Earth and a dome cracking and blackness coming out of that. Okay, that was in reference, of course, it's an occultic symbol of the Ben Ben sphere. When you learn and study the symbolism of that, it goes back to the occultic so-called Black Rock of Islam. Okay, in the eastern corner of Kaaba in Mecca, the eastern corner of that cube, which Kaaba means in English means cube structure, you see this iconic rock, this Black Rock of Islam there. And it's supposedly the Muslim faith believes that this dates back to Father Ibrahim, as they call him, that this stone actually came from God, from the heavens, and it was tied to the god Pan or Jupiter. It's a Jupiter stone, and it's supposed to have this very powerful occultic healing. And so this is what is placed there in this eastern corner of the cube, the Kaaba of Mecca. Of course, the Jewish mysticism, the Sabbatean cults and others, they practice Kaaba. That's also called Kabbalah or Kaaba, the worship of the cube. And what I want to, you know, it's hard to explain this on a radio show, Don, because it really is a visual expression. But the Kaaba, the cube, is very, very occultic. And it's, again, part of the Kabbalah tracing board mysticism of incantations, of mystical, what they call sacred geometry. But in the intersections of the sacred cube, you have the points that are intersecting, and they make a total of 13 circular intersection or nodes. And what's so stunning to me is in that, again, the tail end of that opening ceremonies, that 8 minutes, there we go again, 8 minutes, you have the umbrellas forming in the exact formation of the 13 nodes of the cube. Now, when the devout Muslim pilgrim makes his pilgrimage to Mecca, there is 7 stops that they make as they go into Mecca. There is 7 specific rituals they do. And as they enter to go into the inner sanctum, the cube or Kaaba, they are to move in a counterclockwise rotation and make 7 orbits, counterclockwise rotations around the cube, the Kaaba. And each time they pass by this sphere, this silver iconic black rock, okay? This black rock is enclosed in a silver portal, okay? It's very, very alien looking, Don. It's absolutely looks like something you'd see in close encounters. Yeah. So there you have the iconic 7 threes. Yeah, sevens of 21.
You mentioned 8 pentagrams.
Indeed.
The 8 and 5 is 5 pointed stars, right? basically.
For 13, again.
There's a 13, see?
See, that falls all into the cube, the sacred geometry, the Kaaba or the Kabbalah. They utilize the cube with the pentagon or pentagram in the spells that are cast, the conjuring of these interdimensional entities. Mm-hmm. So there is just absolutely no doubt that this is a high-level Illuminati Satanistic ceremony. There's also something I just found in my digging that I didn't know until just yesterday. In Wiltshire, United Kingdom, a place called Mill Kill, on the morning of 8/8/08, just before, of course, the opening ceremonies, which kicked off at 8 minutes past the hour of 8 p.m., exactly 8 seconds on 8/8/08, 2008, drummers, Chinese drummers, began beating out a drum signaling attack, meaning if you know the history of the Great Wall of China, Don, all along the Great Wall, there's these drum towers. They were set strategically so that it would be a verbal relay of sound patterns of drums. These huge drums would be beating out a specific, almost like a Morse code pattern. They would, the closest drum tower would hear it. They would begin the same pattern of rhythmic beating. Before long, within just seconds, hundreds of miles of the Great Wall of China would be beating out the same rhythm. This exact same rhythm was announcing an attack. It was
warning. Like a death march to me, you know?
Yeah, it's very much a symbolic drumming, meaning that there is an attack being planned. And as soon as the Olympic ceremonies, the closing ceremonies were concluded, with, I think it was just 5 days later, China quit purchasing U.S. debt securities. They flexed their muscles. They actually let the investment banking houses know that they were seriously considering dropping their Federal Reserve note stash, dropping the T-bills, just basically flooding the market with them. And that's what caused the September and October crash of 2008.
Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of reporting on that back during that time, too, on this show. So our listeners will recall that.
So we have the election in November of 2008. Obama takes office after the inauguration in January of 2009, and Hillary Clinton is now Secretary of State. Where's the first place she goes? She hops on Air Force One or Two and heads right to Beijing, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we really don't know what went into those meetings for 3 days. But I submit it only makes sense that she was giving some guarantees of some kind to back up the trillions of dollars of debt securities that the Chinese Communist Party had.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it make sense, Don, that she would be guaranteeing them real estate as collateral? And what does the federal government have as real estate more than anything else? Well, Washington District of Criminals. What about all the federal lands in the West? What about the national park system? All of these things can be easily placed as collateral. Would she do that?
This is when the bailouts started, too, if you remember.
Indeed.
There was a bailout under Bush. And we reported that. In fact, I alluded to that very scenario you're describing back in 2008, and it was over two separate infusions of $4.5 trillion, which was supposed to go to Leo Wanta. Okay? Twice they made this deposit, and it was absconded with by the New York banks, Bank of America, Citibank, J.P. Morgan, and a few other banks. Chemical Bank, I think, was one of them as well. But nevertheless, and Wachovia, they were involved in it. All these companies started going down right at that time. It was obvious to us that some deal had to have been made because they couldn't pay the money. It had been stolen, and they weren't intending to give it back. So they'd rather give something back that they know they don't own anyway, you see. That's mm-hmm. the bottom line. Go ahead, though. I didn't mean to go off on a rant.
Oh, no, that's right. Right on. But on this this 8-8-0-8, this crops circle was appeared in this this field in Wiltshire, United Kingdom. An aerial photograph of the crop circle that I've seen is it's like a gigantic eight, okay, in the crops. There's these circles of ascending geometrically ascending dots, circles that get bigger until they hit to the center. And in the center, there is another eight-pointed star that binds the two together. What's amazing to me is each of those circles, the top and the bottom, almost like, you know, the yin and yang symbol of infinity.
Mm-hmm.
These circles total 21 on each side. Top and bottom. There's so much that is beyond coincidence with this.
Yeah, well, the 21 hides the number 777 in it, doesn't it?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. The number 18, which you had mentioned before, hides the number 666. Or if you break the 18 down to a 9, it's an upside down 6. It's there. They use it over and over again. And what are the odds of that happening in these situations?
Well, again, the
mathematically speaking,
to have the Muslims faithful that head to Mecca do this the seven the three sevens in the ritual is beyond coincidence as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing this for at least the 7th century. There's another 7, okay?
Yes.
Now, I submit to you that Antonio Rivera, the Jesuit priest who turned whistleblower after reading some very sensitive documents in the Vatican, is right on point that the Muslim religion, as far as the Prophet Muhammad goes, is a creation of the Vatican. It would make sense, given these occultic rituals, that God bless the good Muslims, but they don't really know why they do it, I submit. Nobody teaches them why they go 7 circles around the Kaaba, why each time they pass the easternmost corner with the Ben sphere enclosed, they either touch it or point at it as they go around their 7. They don't understand why there is 7 points of interest and 7 rituals to perform. It's all 7 times 3. Is that just a coincidence?
You want me to answer that, or
I'm open for. input.
Well, is it any more a coincidence that they picked out the date 8-8-8 and started it on 8:08:08? You know?
Precisely. And, oh, golly, you know, 8 3/8 again is 24, and there's your symbolism of 6. as well. In the Chinese culture, 8 is also a very sacred symbol for them. It's simple. It's a symbol of plentiful production. It's a symbol of blessing, yeah. Abundance. Yeah, and all
some,
of that.
Some say luck, if you want to believe in luck, but
there were just I don't know how many thousands of weddings. I would say maybe even hundreds of thousands of weddings that took place in China on that day, 8/8/8. Many of them had 8 couples or 4 couples of 2. All of it, you know, there's just an incredible day in China. Obviously, it was an incredible day in the UK and Wiltshire below Milk Hill.
Yeah. Did you post that video on your site or?
I did. It's there right on the first post. And I started to do a follow up posting on it because of what I've just uncovered with the links to Islam and the Vatican and the 7x3 symbolism. But you know, this has really gotten to be just incredibly complex as far as all the symbolism from Leona and Mr. Page and the Tavistock. It's all right there in your face.
Yeah, it's evident that's there. Now, anyone that really followed what was going on with the political situation, the geopolitical situation at that time, there were a lot of skirmishes going on. Well, at that time, the payouts were supposed to have been made on these prosperity programs, and they hadn't been made. So you had this event develop in the Republic of Georgia, and then that sort of died down. It lasted, it seemed, throughout the Olympics, and then after that, that was about it. But they used that event, too, to start all of this nonsense about a flu pandemic. Back then, it was the bird flu, and they were implying that everyone was going to have to be vaccinated before they could get on a plane to come back to the States. Now, after the Olympics, you didn't hear any more about that, but that certainly was the talk all throughout the Olympics, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to push that on us. So they use those events, not just the people who are putting on the event, but behind the scenes, their corporations are following the same numerology, expecting certain things to happen financially. Well, yeah, there was a lot of corruption going on. You had the secret visit to China. Shortly after that, there were visits to places like Kenya and Korea and India. You know, this has been going on over and over and over again. It's about the money laundering and the embezzlement and the secret accounts that they have all over the place. $1 billion accounts. Obama's alleged to have $2 billion. Of money socked away. Where does somebody just come up with that kind of jump change? You know? So you're right on about what's been done.
In the time we have left, Don, let's go into the music portion of this again and talk about backmasking is what it's called. If you look up backmasking on just a Google search or come up with a Wikipedia entry. And here's what it says. Backmasking, also known as backward masking, is the recording technique in which a specific sound or message is recorded backward onto a track that is then meant to be played backward. Backmasking is a deliberate process, whereas a message found only through phonetic reversal may be used. And it goes down and and the use of backmasking. Well, first of all, it goes into development, the history. This is really quite amazing. In 1877, it says, Thomas Edison invented the phonograph. Of course, a device allowing sound to be recorded and reproduced on a rotating cylinder with a stylus or needle attached to a diaphragm. Okay, then it goes into history of Emil Berliner, invented the familiar lateral cut disc phonograph record in 1888. His design overtook the Edison phonograph in the 1920s, but Berliner's patent expired in 1918, and then others were free to use his invention. So it says here that in addition to recreating recorded sounds by placing the stylus on the cylinder disc and rotating it in the same direction as during the recording, one could hear totally different sounds by rotating the cylinder or disc backwards. The backwards playing of records, get this, this is right here in Wikipedia. The backwards playing of records was advised as training for magicians by occultist Aleister Crowley, who suggested in his 1913 book, Magic, Book 4, that an adept, quote, could train himself to think backwards by external means, one of which was to, quote, listen to phonograph records reversed. The 1950s, again, this goes back to the Tavistock Institute research. The 1950s saw two new developments in audio technology, the development of musique concrete, an avant-garde form of electronic music which involves editing together fragments of natural and industrial sounds, and then the concurrent spread of the use of tape recorders in recording studios. These two trends led to what was called tape music compositions, composed on tapes using techniques including reverse tape effects. The Beatles incorporated the earliest techniques of concrete into their recordings, and they were responsible for popularizing the concept of backmasking. Singer John Lennon and producer George Martin both claim they discovered the backward recording technique during their recording in 1966 of Revolver, especially the album tracks Tomorrow Never Knows and I'm Only Sleeping and the single Rain. Lennon later stated that while under the influence of marijuana, he actually played the tapes for Rain in reverse and enjoyed the sound. Following day, he shared the results with the other Beatles, and the effect was fused first in the guitar solo for Tomorrow Never Knows, and later in the recording of Rain. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The Beatles were involved in the spread of backmasking, both as recording technique and as the center of a massive controversy. The latter has its roots in an event in 1969 when WKNR-FM DJ Russ Gibb, okay, Gibb, as in B.G. Gibb, mm-hmm, received a phone call from a student at Eastern Michigan University who identified himself only as Tom. The caller asked Gibb about a rumor that Beatle Paul McCartney had died and claimed that the Beatles' song Revolution 9 contained a backward message confirming this rumor. Gibb then played the song backwards on his turntable. This was live on the radio, WKNR-FM. And all people listening that day in 1969 heard this. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Gibb then began telling his listeners about what he called the great cover-up. And the original clue were added various others, including the alleged back-masked message. Paul is a dead man. Miss him, miss him, miss him, miss him, and I'm so tired. After Gibb's show, Many, many more songs were found to contain phrases that sounded like known spoken languages reversed. And so he goes into the Led Zeppelin was the worst. Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven contained many hidden messages that were heard only by the subconscious. And so on it goes. Allegations of demonic backmasking were also made by social psychologists, parents, and critics of rock music, as well as the Parents Music Resource Center, formed in 1985, which accused Led Zeppelin of using backmasking to promote Satanism. Interesting, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, if you've ever watched a horror film, or you know, if you recall one, some of the music that you heard, you'll immediately recognize or remember that you heard some backward sounds when they're doing the sound of a demon, for example. In Poltergeist, they use a lot of that technique, reverse. They're merely recording the music. When it's done digitally, you just crop out the portion that you want to play backwards and reverse it digitally. It's non-destructive editing is what it's called. In the old days, you had to flip the tape over to record it backwards, unless you were going to use all the tracks for that particular technique, then it didn't matter. So you wouldn't accidentally, let's say, erase a rhythm track or a lead vocal part, because it's a little difficult to get the hang of it when you're doing it. But the phenomenon in the studio is that all the music is playing backwards and the person hears themselves saying something forwards, you see? Still done the same way. Now, when you take the tape and flip it over again and rewind it to the beginning of the song, when you come to that point where you had recorded with the tape flipped over, it will play backwards. It's as simple as that. Now, we used to do that for musical effect. Like, we would hit a loud piano chord and play it backwards. So you remove the percussive element out of the piano. The piano is a percussion instrument. But when you do that, you cause the sound to envelope in reverse without an attack. So the sound goes, wah, wah. Or if you were doing a cymbal crash, which is what we usually used to do, you hear the sound of a crash going, it's like, closing, like a hi-hat closes, or it might just make a noise like that, okay? And that's a harmless effect when you're doing that with a sound, but when you're doing it with language, anything can happen. You can put any kind of message in there. And yes, the mind can hear backwards. It can recognize that something's playing backwards, so it can understand it. It's just that occurs on a subconscious level.
Yeah, that's in this article, it talks about that as well. It's called the aesthetic use. It says backmasking is often used for aesthetics, and in essence, to enhance the sound of a track. And yeah,
it's an effect. It's an effect that expands your consciousness, we'll say, okay, because it's a sound that's not heard in nature. It's a nature sound played backwards. That's what it is. So, in a sense, it is heard, but the impact of it is the reverse. Now, when you do that with words, again, it certainly can have a program or a code or a key or a switch in it that someone has been programmed to respond to. Mm-hmm. So. Anything else that you wanted to say about that?
Well, just the section here on what Wikipedia is called satanic backmasking is pretty amazing. The says, quote, the satanic backmasking controversy involved mainly classic rock songs whose authors, of course, denied any intent to promote Satanism. But backmasking has been used by heavy metal bands to deliberately insert messages into their lyrics or imagery. Since bands have utilized satanic imagery for commercial reasons, for example, thrash metal band Slayer included at the start of the band's 1985 album Hell Awaits a deep, back-masked voice chanting "Join us" over and over. There's actually a clip you can actually listen to it. However, Slayer vocalist Tom Araya states that the band's use of satanic imagery was solely for effect. Well,
I have an example here. I think if I grab the right song, this is very short. I think the listening audience would appreciate this.
Okay.
Now that was Earth, Wind, and Fire. 14 seconds of back masking. Kind of interesting. There's another one now. I'm not sure if this... I'm going to take a stab at it. I can't recall exactly what this is. It's a little bit longer. Right at the end.
Get out of here.
That had some reverse envelopes on the guitar, but the way they were doing them is they were playing them. It's like upstrokes instead of downstrokes. Very syncopated, so it sort of does the same thing. I play guitar, so I can tell you that's what he's doing, you know. This where he's bending the tone down, down, and when he's doing those syncopated riffs there, those are upstrokes, like back masking, yeah. And then the voice at the end.
Yeah, interesting.
Get out of here!
get out of here! Well, the legislation, you know, Don was. Was introduced in Arkansas, of all things, and in California. In 1983, the California bill was introduced, and believe it or not, it actually said that it was done to prevent backmasking that, quote, can manipulate our behavior without our knowledge or consent and turn us into disciples of the Antichrist. That's pretty amazing. This was put into the California State Assembly Consumer Protection and Toxic Materials Committee hearing, and which they all listened to Stairway to Heaven played backwards, and William Yarrow testified about it. The bill was passed. It made the distribution of records with undeclared backmasking an invasion of privacy for which the distributor could be sued. Then Arkansas passed a similar law unanimously in 1983, specifically referencing albums by the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Electric Light Orchestra, Queen, and Styx, and mandated that records with backmasking include a warning sticker saying, quote, warning, this record contains backward masking which may be perceptible at a subliminal level when the record is played forward. However,
anything in that law about live performances?
No, it does. It's just in the recording itself.
Okay. Well, we saw the recording of that here in the States. We didn't see the live version.
It goes on to say, Don, that however, this bill was returned to the state Senate by Governor Bill Clinton and defeated. So Bill Clinton himself made this bill die. Anyway,
he wanted to be able to play his saxophone backwards, which he does a good job of forwards. So,
I didn't understand this, but you know, CDs, it's kind of hard to play them backwards, but there is actually, according to this Wikipedia article, there is now sound recorder utility program with the Microsoft Windows, but from Windows 95 to Windows XP. You can click on any CD that you put onto your computer. You can actually hear audio reversal on any CD. Interesting, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they have programs that will do that as well. And that's kind of interesting. I've had some experience with that.
So let's Stairway to Heaven. There we go. And again, Jimmy Page, and deep in the heart of this beast is this Jimmy Page and his performance there at the closing ceremonies. Just absolutely stunning, Don.
Mm-hmm. Judas Priest was mentioned. AC/DC, The Eagles, Rush, Prince, Sweet, mm-hmm. Black Oak, Arkansas, and the Jay Giles Band.
Yeah. Why would they even want to do that is the point. And why would you want to put a back drafted message like that in? It's just the back masking technology. You've got to have a purpose for that, you would think, Don.
It's programming. I mean, what else would it be?
So why isn't this not discussed more in radio talk shows anymore? You've uncovered some incredible information as well with people stalking on the internet again. I just, you know, as you said when you first started the show, there's so much misinformation, fear-mongering going on, and people that should know better are just jumping on this with both feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing.
Well, we can pray for them, and pray for everybody for that matter. I would say in many of the cases, the groups themselves are programmed or heavily produced, where the music has to take a specific course. It's got to be in a certain key. It's got to have a certain kind of chord progression, certain kind of bass line, certain types of harmonics, certain kind of pulse. Some would call it a beat. But the pulse can be multidimensional, depending on how it's orchestrated. So there are a lot of things that can go into the music. And they can program a connection to the music with all the other programming that they do, and leave it there as an artifact that when the trigger is pulled, and that could be intended, some major event that they're alerted to watch on TV or in a movie or something, and they'll, it's not necessarily that the music itself is evil, but it's how it's being used that becomes evil, or the ways that it's modified. Music in and of itself is not evil. It's the misapplication of the universal laws that causes it to become destructive or controlling. Mm-hmm. This is all about control when you think about it. No one's asked to just kick back and enjoy the sound, or to get up and dance. There's ritual tied to it. And the average person, Joe Sixpack that's partying with everybody else has no idea what's going on. Just likes the music, likes the beer, So you have different cultures that respond to the music in different ways. It transcends several generations too, because this music is promoted quite a bit from the beginning. It's marketed to be successful. Yeah, you mentioned some of the research that I've been doing, and believe me, that'll take up that can take up easily 2 hours discussing what I found.
Well, we probably ought to go and discuss it on my show.
We could.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. One name leads to another name that leads to a whole situation, and then everything appears. Of course, it's not that easy. You know, it takes a couple of days to cover all the bases, but it certainly explains what's going on. You can draw parallels to everything that's happening, and you can tell who we're having an impact on. That's the main thing. What it will reveal. And there's a lot of corruption. Oh, my goodness, the corruption. And it's, you know, these people have gotten away with it. You know, but it's worth reminding everybody about it, because it's what's behind everything that we're witnessing today.
Indeed.
Well, we're out of time. I appreciate you being on the show, and I want to again direct folks to your website. Actually, I didn't put the www in there. I just went atrueot.com, and it came up.
That works. Pretty straight to the point.
Yeah. So that's the website. The show is called The Story Behind the Story. And let's see, you've changed your time so many times. It's from 12 to 2 Eastern, right? 9 to 12 West Coast time in the morning. Not 9 to 12. 9 to 11, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, well, that's actually 9 to 11 on the Pacific Coast and 10 to noon on the Mountain Standard Time, and noon to 2 on the East Coast.
Okay. And that's 11 to 1 Central for those listening in Central Time. Got a lot of listeners.
Oh, yeah. We can't forget about the Central Time.
And why don't they ever mention us? Yeah.
Really?
All right. Well, I appreciate you being on the show. And, yeah, give me a holler if you want to talk about that, because it's...
Oh, absolutely. I actually would like to invite you tomorrow morning if you've got it open. So.
Well, that'd be noon for me.
So, it works for me if it works for you.
All right. We'll put it together like we did the last time. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Okay, well, thanks for being on the show. We wish you a good night, and we'll see you next Monday.
Good night, Don.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprint on bbsradio.com, and tonight's guest, Dr. A. Truat. Check out his site. He's got a lot of interesting articles posted there. This is the blog site, atrueot.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio. We had Don Newsom on the sound. Thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And as I always say, have a good night.